It's a complex issue. It's been going on for a long time. But if both wanted it, I would be ready to do it.
The United Nations General Assembly opens with Asia topics prominent. It's Tuesday, September 24th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, the United States and India share a Texas-size rally. Advancing prosthetics in Pakistan. Challenges for the top U.S. diplomat. A robot ranger. And embracing Afghan music. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. President Donald Trump has long opposed globalism and criticized the multilateralism that is the foundation of the United Nations. However, as the leader of the country that hosts the world body, Trump is obligated to attend and speak to the U.N.'s General Assembly every year, which he will do for a third time Tuesday. A senior administration official says the U.S. president is to affirm America's leadership and, quote, underscore that America is a positive alternative to authoritarianism. Trump this week is also holding one-on-one meetings with some of the visiting heads of government, as well as attending at least one diplomatic reception and a lunch hosted by U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres. In his first formal remarks of the week Monday, Trump spoke at an event he and Vice President Mike Pence hosted, the Global Call to Protect Religious Freedom at the United Nations. Trump said protecting religious freedom is one of his administration's highest priorities. Also Monday, Trump sat down with Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan, a day after the U.S. president attended a huge rally for the Indian-American community alongside Indian Prime Minister Modi in a Houston, Texas stadium. The U.S. president reiterated his offer to try to settle the long-standing Kashmir territorial dispute between the two neighbors.
It will be dependent on both of these gentlemen. One without the other doesn't work if you're going to do mediation or if you're going to do an arbitration. But certainly I would be willing to help if both wanted, if both Pakistan, let's say, and India wanted me to do that. I am ready, willing, and able. It's a complex issue. It's been going on for a long time. But if both wanted it, I would be ready to do it.
Trump added he hopes the two countries will come together and do something that's, quote, really smart. In the meeting with Khan, Trump lavished praise on India's rival and said Pakistan could be ready to help with Taliban negotiations.
We've hit the Taliban harder than we've ever hit them in all of the years. I guess we've been there now 19 years. How ridiculous is that? And when they killed 12 people, one of them an American soldier, as you know, and one a United Nations soldier, for the sake of going into the meeting with a little strength, they thought they went in with weakness and I canceled everything. We have hit them harder in the last 2 weeks than we've ever hit them before.
When do you think the talks could resume again, sir?
We'll see what happens. But I will say that the Prime Minister has been very helpful and he wants to do something. He wants to see something happen. So that's fine.
The most closely watched event on the UN's Monday calendar was the Climate Action Summit, where Trump made a brief unscheduled appearance. The president, who spent less than 15 minutes at the event, did not speak. Swedish teen climate activist Greta Thunberg scolded world leaders, saying people are suffering and dying from the effects of global warming, and all the leaders have offered are empty words. VOA correspondent Margaret Bashir has more.
16-year-old Greta Thunberg spoke emotionally about a crisis created by adults, but whose consequences will be borne by her generation.
You are failing us. But the young people are starting to understand your betrayal. The eyes of all future generations are upon you. And if you choose to fail us, I say we will never forgive you.
Thunberg warned the more than 60 presidents and prime ministers gathered in the UN General Assembly Hall that the youth would not let them get away with this, and that change is coming whether they like it or not. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres backed her up.
My generation has failed in its responsibility to protect our planet. That must change.
Guterres has called for the phasing out of fossil fuels and an end to the construction of new coal power plants. Numerous leaders, including some of the world's biggest polluters, came with pledges to cut their carbon emissions and transition away from dirty energy, including coal. U.S. President Donald Trump, who declared his intention to withdraw the United States from the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement 6 months after he took office, was not expected to attend the summit. He did, however, turn up in the audience for about 15 minutes to listen to other leaders' speeches. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, The United Nations.
These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you make a visit to voanews.com. Tensions at home and abroad overshadow China's upcoming National Day celebrations. First Asia, now South Pacific. China expands economic footprint in traditional Western stronghold. Powerful typhoon causes minor injuries and damages in South Korea. U.S. universities see decline in students from China. YouTube milestone highlights Vietnam growth and growing pains. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more with photos and videos on Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. As we have mentioned, U.S. President Donald Trump joined India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi in the Howdy Modi event organized by the Indian American community in Houston, Texas. The president praised bilateral relations with the world's second most populous nation, but also seemed to use the occasion to woo Texas voters ahead of the 2020 election. VOA's Latika Hoke reports an estimated 50,000 people attended that rally addressed by the two leaders.
Trump and Modi were greeted by cheering crowds in Houston's NRG Stadium on Sunday at a rally dubbed Howdy Modi, while protesters rallied outside. Modi won a landslide victory in this year's election, but critics say that human rights abuses and ethnic violence under his leadership have pushed India on a genocide watch list. Modi introduced Trump to the Indian American community in Houston as the great American president and India's close friend.
Mr. President, this morning in Houston, you can hear the heartbeat of this great partnership.
Modi invited Trump and his family to visit India, adding that for America and Americans, there is opportunity to progress in India. A beaming Trump praised Modi's leadership.
In a single decade, with the help of Prime Minister Modi's pro-growth reforms, India has lifted nearly 300 million people out of poverty.
The United States and India traded more than $140 billion in goods and services last year. The highlight of Modi's U.S. visit was his address to some of 500,000 Indian Americans living in Houston, the city that has a $7 billion worth of annual trade with India. Trump praised Indian Americans across the United States as hard workers. In what sounded like a 2020 campaign speech, the president promised 70,000 new manufacturing jobs for Texans and touted the success of the U.S. economy across the nation.
Here in the United States, there has never been a better time to hire, invest, grow, and pursue your dreams. Indian companies employ tens of thousands of Americans across a range of industries, including American steel. In 2018, India's JSW Steel announced that it would invest up to $500 million to revitalize a shuttered steel plant in the great state of Ohio.
Trump won Texas in the 2016 election, but the latest polls show he could face a tough challenge from Democratic candidates in 2020. Zlatica Hoc, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, severe flooding in northern Cambodia has forced local authorities to carry out evacuations. At least 11 people have died in the last week due to the flooding. You can stay up to date with this on VOA. There's much more on the story online at VOA 60. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad, as always, to have you with us today on VOA Asia. Modern technology is becoming more and more common in artificial limbs, but advanced treatment like that is still a distant dream for a majority of the amputees in Pakistan. VOA's Simon Khan has more.
The Pakistan Society for the Rehabilitation of the Disabled has a storied history dating back to the 1960s, including treating patients who need artificial limbs.
We used to only use steel and leather to make limbs, but now we use polypropylene sheets and Velcro. Using leather also used to take a long time.
But Pakistan is primarily relying on wooden limbs, despite having a higher incidence of lower limb amputations than most other parts of the world.
First, I cover my leg with socks. Then I put a rubber thing on and then place the wooden limb. So it is completely covered and has no air access. It's easy to walk in, but when I take everything off, I feel like my leg has been in water for a long time. Very soft.
Two young entrepreneurs in Pakistan have answered the call for advancements and started to produce prosthetic limbs and feet using carbon fiber and a mixture of Kevlar with titanium and stainless steel components. However, their product costs more, and the business side of keeping the doors open becomes challenging in a poor country like Pakistan.
In the beginning, you will immediately face the problem of capital. No one is ready to invest in such a business because the return in this business is after 5 to 10 years as compared to other businesses.
Experts say if Pakistan receives funding from the government and starts producing artificial limbs on larger scales, more and more disabled people can benefit from new technology at affordable prices. A non-government organization called HOPE is helping in the cause by offering donated prosthetics from countries such as Germany. However, the supply of donated prosthetics is nowhere close to the number of people applying for treatment. The director of HOPE, Dr. Khalid Khan Niazi, says private companies can also help his organization help more people.
If companies invest in expensive equipment to start building the parts here, then prices can get as low as one-third of what they are now.
Giving hope to doctors and disability advocates here in Pakistan and around the world that more patients can be helped. For Saman Khan in Lahore, Pakistan, Bijan Hamdan, VOA News.
Coming up, pressure on Pompeo. You're listening to VOA Asia.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program hosts VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Protesters in the Riau province of Indonesia have declared an air pollution emergency due to haze from the fires and pressed the president to take action. This has been a persistent problem for the last several weeks. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features to see and share. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, we've mentioned Secretary of State Mike Pompeo often on VOA Asia, as he has dealt with many issues throughout the region, including denuclearization talks with North Korea. Pompeo is now facing his first major crisis on how to respond to the attacks on Saudi oil facilities, which he blamed on Iran. In response to the attacks, President Donald Trump has approved the deployment of U.S. troops, defensive in nature, and military equipment to Saudi Arabia. VOA's diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain looks at Pompeo's close relationship with the president and his leadership skills on display at this critical moment.
The attacks on Saudi Arabia's largest oil facilities have put a spotlight on the Trump administration's response amid spiraling tensions with Iran. All eyes turn to the top U.S. diplomat Mike Pompeo, dispatched by the president to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, after he went further than any other official in quickly pinning the blame on Iran and calling the attacks an act of war. Foreign policy expert Karen Young says U.S. credibility in the world is at stake.
Secretary Pompeo is going to have to assure those partners that America is indeed supporting them. And sometimes the White House and the president himself make statements that puts that into question. I mean, long-standing policy from the end of World War II to the Carter administration and to the present.
President Donald Trump has offered mixed signals about how the United States might respond, saying there are many options, and noting it was Saudi Arabia, not the U.S., that was attacked. Trump chose Pompeo's hostage affairs special envoy, Robert O'Brien, to replace John Bolton as National Security Advisor, after saying the Secretary of State is fantastic and consulting him about possibly taking on both high-profile jobs.
I get along with him so well. We have a lot of the same views and a couple of little different views, but he likes the idea of having somebody in there with him, and I do too.
Experts agree that Pompeo has been careful not to disagree with the president in public, and say that may be one reason why he is the longest surviving member of Trump's national security team.
At the end of the day, I think Secretary Pompeo has the trust of the President of the United States.
Others point out that Pompeo was not CIA director for long before the president moved him over to replace Rex Tillerson at the State Department.
It's also important to note that he wasn't the CIA director for very long. It was about a year. His real experience was, you know, being in the Congress and, you know, being in a kind of somewhat defense industry in Kansas when he was a business owner. And he's not a man of international affairs in the way that we've had secretaries of state of the past. He's no James Baker.
For now, Trump and Pompeo appear to be in sync as they tackle foreign policy challenges around the world. Cindy Sain, VOA News, the State Department.
This news from VOA Asia. Protesters in Indonesia's restive Papua province have set fire to homes and other buildings after facing racism within the region. You can see more on this story with a visit online to VOA 60, and you'll find all the big stories coming your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, the city of Huntington Park in the state of California has hired a patrol monitor that is on duty 24 hours a day. Christiana Shevchenko met with this super cop and watched him work. Anna Rice narrates her story.
A new officer with the Huntington Park Police patrols local parks 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He doesn't need rest, coffee breaks, a salary, or medical insurance. And that is because it is a robocop. The chief of the Huntington Park Police says the main function of the RoboCop is to scan and film the surroundings.
Cameras with night vision that record 360 degrees. It also has a distress button, which is located here. So if somebody were to need assistance or they want to contact our communication center, they can do it by way of that distress button. And there's people that are monitoring on the other end.
The RoboCop works 24 hours a day and is self-charging. It's easy to program the newest police employee and make changes to the software if necessary. The RoboCop's maintenance costs are roughly $75,000 a year.
It travels the entire park. It is a programmed path, but we're able to change the path and adapt it to maybe different activities that we become aware of.
Okay, so now it's a person.
So there's a person coming, and if it senses it too close, it'll stop for a moment. Good morning.
The RoboCop also records the license plates of passing cars and checks them against an online database of stolen cars. It can also help locate a lost iPhone because it is able to determine a smartphone's MAC address.
Something wrong happens, like the police can see it from the robot, and then the police can come and like figure out what's happening to us.
The RoboCop can't replace its human handlers. The whole goal is to give police more time to do things machines can't do.
We decided it might be something that could work for the park since we've been having some concerns about safety. This park is the largest park in the city, and so we wanted an extra set of eyes that would help the police department in order to patrol it 24/7.
RoboCop's creators believe this model, known as K5, is best used for providing security at public places like hospitals, parking lots, parks, and airports. So far, it seems to be working out just fine. For Kristina Shevchenko in Los Angeles, California, NRI's VOA News.
Medieval drama Game of Thrones closed its run with a fourth Emmy Award for Best Drama Series, while Fleabag was the upset winner for Best Comedy Series. Reuters' Eve Johnson has the story from Los Angeles.
Game of Thrones.
HBO's medieval fantasy series stormed the Emmy Awards Sunday night, taking home 12 trophies, including the top prize, Best Drama. The night marks a final bow for Game of Thrones as it closes its run on HBO. Peter Dinklage took the only acting trophy of the bunch for his supporting role as Tyrion Lannister.
No other place could I be standing on a stage like this.
You know when you've done everything?
But the breakout star of the night was Amazon Studios' Fleabag, scooping up the prize for Best Comedy. Its creator and star, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, grabbed a trophy each for Best Comedy Writing and Actress.
It's just really wonderful that to know and reassuring that a dirty, pervy, angry, messed up woman can make it to the Emmys. So thank you so much.
And in an Emmy's first, apologies, an openly gay black man won Best Drama Actor. Broadway veteran Billy Porter won the prize for his starring role in LGBTQ series Pose.
Oh my God, God bless you all. The category is love, y'all, love!
Wow, you look amazing. Can I
the night paid tribute to some newcomers as well. Jodie Comer won a trophy for Best Actress, playing a psychotic assassin in Killing Eve. And Jarrell Jerome won Best Actor for his role in When They See Us. The Netflix drama is based on the story of the Central Park Five wrongly accused of rape.
This is for the men that we know as the Exonerated Five. It's for Raymond, Yusuf, Anton, Kevin, and King Corey Wise!
What have they done?
HBO's limited series Chernobyl, based on a Soviet nuclear accident, also made a strong showing, taking home 10 trophies. In the final count, HBO won the night, edging out Netflix with 34 Emmys and new bragging rights in the battle for viewers.
Reuters reporter Eve Johnson. In Afghanistan, where the Taliban once banned music, a young musician teaches her art to a new generation of children, including many street kids. Masuma Mohammadi worries that the Taliban might regain power, but also hopes one day her students and all Afghans will embrace music. VOA's Jim Randall has our story.
Twice a week, 17-year-old Masuma Mohammadi and her band take a group of street children to a Kabul cafe and teach them to play instruments and read music. Masuma is a high school student and leader of the pop band Kindness Ambassadors.
At this age, the kids should have been following their dreams, going to school and studying. I've seen the disappointment in their eyes and their faces, and that's why I teach them music.
12-year-old Brishana is among 15 street children Masuma has been teaching, and she hopes she can follow in her mentor's footsteps.
I'm not afraid to perform music on Kabul streets or anywhere because I love music. It's one of my dreams to become a good musician.
The band helps the children financially, giving up most of the money the group earns for private concerts.
The most enjoyable moment of the teaching is when the children follow the music notes which I'm singing.
Teaching children is just one of the band's activities since the group formed in 2018. Besides paid concerts, they stage free public performances, especially after bombings, to cheer people up. It's an unusual move for a teenage girl in a deeply conservative country where the Taliban once outlawed music and Western-style popular culture is widely criticized.
They must accept this culture, and they're not allowed to ban our musical activities. We will not allow them to do so.
She hopes that one day Afghans like her can express their love for the craft. Jim Randall, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find our program on many places online, including iTunes and SoundCloud. Also, check us out now on YouTube as well as Facebook, VOA Asia Facebook. And we can also be heard on another Facebook feed. That's VOA Burmese in Myanmar. We thank everyone there who has listened to our program via Facebook and VOA Burmese. We also like to thank our Director Tracy Carter, engineer Nelson Lopes, our managing editor Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team. Ira Melman, Keith Lane, Kelly Jean Kelly, and also Michelle Liu for getting us on our Facebook stream today. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a nice day.